Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Peter approached Jesus and asked, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times. Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77s. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought into him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him, started to choke him, and demanded, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had his fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. And when his fellow servant saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master to report the whole affair. His master summoned him and said, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you asked me to. Should you not have had pity with your fellow servant as I had had pity with you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we celebrate the Feast of St. Clare, we remember her conversion early in life. She had already been living a life of the state of grace, but she heard Francis preach once in her church. She recognized that there was a huge gap between merely not breaking the commandments and living in a radical way together with Christ. And she came to him on Palm Sunday when she was 18 and asked for the permission and the help to live in the manner of the Holy Gospel, to live truly the way of Christ, to share his poverty, to share his chaste love for God and for others, to share his obedience to the Father in all things until death. And that night she ran away from home, went to the Porciuncula, the 800th anniversary of whose indulgence we celebrated 9 days ago. The friars cut her hair off, she took off her very noble clothing, put on the simple carpet bag with a rope as a belt that the Franciscans were wearing. Because there were no Franciscan convents to speak of, obviously, she went to stay at Francis's arranging at a local Benedictine convent. And thus were born the Poor Clares. To live in a manner worthy of the gospel, to live in the true way of Christ, is what we're all called to do. But the conversion we need, like Clare's, is not often from a wicked life, from a life of debauchery or sin, but it's from a life of going only some partial measure, rather than being truly all in. And during this Jubilee year of mercy, it's important for us to grasp that to live in the manner of the Holy Gospel means to live this gospel, which is about our recognition of our need for God's mercy, but also how, if we're going to receive that mercy, we must pass that mercy on. In today's first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, we see what Old Testament scholars call a prophetic oat, O-T, with a circumflex over the O. Prophetic oat is an action that's a parable, an action that teaches. So God constantly was having the prophets do these actions. And so while just the heads of Jerusalem were there in Babylon, and everybody else was left back in Jerusalem, those back in Jerusalem hadn't really converted. So Ezekiel was going to show the leadership class that was already in exile exactly what was going to happen to everybody else. So as we heard, made a hole in the wall, he had his own sack, he crawled through the wall, he went out into exile, because that's what was going to happen to everybody else left in Jerusalem. And the prince, royalty, would have to escape for his life in that very way. We are supposed to become prophetic oaths in our own day. That just as Ezekiel was a sign for the people of Israel, so we are to be a sign for the people of the whole world of the transformational power of God's loving mercy. And it's through our mercy toward others, our witness to how the Lord has repeatedly forgiven us 77s of times, that we can give them confidence that there's nothing to be afraid of, to return to the Lord and step by step learn from Him how to live according to the manner of the Holy Gospel. For us to grasp the real power of this message, we have to understand the numbers. I've done it with many of you before, but because of the presence of Sister Marita here among us, we will go through the numbers again, because I think the numbers make it so much more drastic. In response to Peter's question, how often must he forgive? And Peter ventured a guess, as many as seven times. Seven was a perfect number of infinity. At a literal level, it would have meant you have to give somebody an eighth chance. But there's also the symbolic meaning. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said 77s, which whether it's 77 or 70 times 7, 4, 9, it doesn't really matter, because they're both infinite numbers that we always need to be ready to forgive. And then Jesus gave this parable of the two debtors, which I think is one of the least appreciated ones in the gospel, and perhaps the most important one, together with the parable of the prodigal son and the parable of the good Samaritan for the year of mercy. First debtor, terrible English translation says, owed a huge debt. If it were to really describe it, it would have said a gigantic, humongous, unbelievably huge debt. It was 10,000 talents. A talent was a weight of measurement. One talent was worth 6,000 days' wages, almost 17 years' worth of work. To owe 10,000 talents was to owe 60 million days worth of work. To pay it off would have required working 164,271 years, which obviously no one was going to live that long. But when this man who owed that fortune came before the creditor and just stupidly, absurdly begged for time, Master, schplanknitzomai, our favorite term for this year of mercy, moved with compassion, with his guts churning out of mercy for the one coming, forgave the whole debt, wiped it off, today's terms, if somebody were making $12.50 an hour or $100 for an 8-hour day, he would have owed $6 billion, and it was totally written off. We would have thought that that mercy would have been utterly transformational, that a person who would have never been able to pay back and would have had the consequences spill over to all his property being sold, all his family being thrown into prison, that such a person would have been so grateful that he would have been like Ebenezer Scrooge after Ebenezer Scrooge was given his life back. Just couldn't possibly pay it forward in any greater way. But then he meets this second debtor who owed him 100 denarii, is what St. Matthew originally used. 100 days worth of work. Again, if somebody were making $100 a day, just 10,000 compared to the 6 billion that had just been forgiven. And Jesus in the parable has this second debtor use the exact same words and do the exact same gestures as the first one did. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. It started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." One would receive such extraordinary mercy, wasn't given it back, and we know how the parable ends. The first creditor, representing God, says, "Should you not have been as merciful with your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Jesus would teach us to pray in the Our Father, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." And then he followed that up by saying, "If you forgive others their sins, so will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. But if you don't forgive others their sins, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your transgressions." So, the measure with which we measure out is the measure we ourselves will receive. But far more than that, far more than just our self-interest, should we be forgiven others. Because unless we forgive others, we go to hell. Unless we forgive others, we go to hell. Failing to forgive just one person could send us to hell forever. Because unless we forgive others their sins, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us ours. Sometimes we can compromise. We can start to say, "Well, I've forgiven 90% of the people. It's just that person who's really hurt me. That sister who said that thing that wounded me. That family member who's just never welcomed me or really seriously abused me. I've got a pass to hold a grudge." And Jesus gives us this parable by which he says, "From Calvary, I have forgiven you $6 billion. I have made you rich in mercy, so that you can go out lavishly and forgive you everybody else's debts, because everybody who has sinned against you combined is the equivalent of 100 denarii compared to the 10,000 talents you've done against me. And if I will forgive you 77s, I'm giving you the strength, the richness of mercy, so that you can forgive others 77s. Because unless you do this, you cannot be like me, cannot be like my Father who is rich in mercy. And if you can't be like my Father, you can't get to heaven, where the only ones who are there are truly in his image and likeness. The only ones who get there have either lived in the manner of the Holy Gospel or through purgatory been purified so that their soul now resembles those who have lived according to the Holy Gospel." This, no doubt, is a challenging message. The most difficult part of Christianity is for us to forgive those who have really hurt us. Many times we'd like to just focus on sweet applications of the principle to love one another as Christ has loved us first. But Jesus concretizes those expressions when he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, love not just your friends and your neighbors and those who do good things to you. He says, love your enemies, those who have made their life's existence to oppose you at every step. Today he'd say, love the members of ISIS, even though they're trying to kill you. Pray for your persecutors. Do good to those who harm you. For so you will be like your Heavenly Father, who lets His sun shine on the good and the bad, lets His rain fall on the virtuous and the wicked. This is what St. Clare sought to live. And this is the prophetic ode that God wants us, as the mystical body of Jesus Christ, mercy incarnate, to bring out to the world. Be the Lord who continually forgives us our entire debt. Strengthen us and help us to go out whenever anybody else comes up and asks for our forgiveness, that we will give it to them as abundantly as God never ceases to give it to us. As Pope Francis said in his first Angelus, Dio non si stanca mai di perdonare. God never ceases to forgive us. And then he said, may we never tire of asking God for what God never tires of giving. But then if you'd permit me to go beyond the Holy Father, may we also never tire of extending to others the mercy that God never tires to extend toward us. Through the intercession of St. Clare, may we live in this most holy evangelical way, now, contagiously,